Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic off!
And welcome back, everybody. Week two. We made it. I'd like to thank God, Jehovah, whatever God you pray to, for making it to 2 weeks in a row. Welcome, everybody. Your host here, Dave Sturcio, otherwise known as Dave Destruction, here with Destruction 101 Episode 2. So, what do we do in a second episode? What does anybody do? Well, let me tell you something. I had no idea what I was in for as far as a listener or like listeners count or an audience. But according to Shining Wizards Tony, he hit me up today, this morning actually, as I record. It's Tuesday morning. This will be dropping on Wednesday. He informed me that 1,200 was the number. 1,200. I don't know if that's downloads, listens, or clicks on a website. I really don't know how they measure it, but I'm excited. I'm a numbers guy. And I get real excited that, you know, that's 1,200 people. I mean, was it me 6 or 7 times? Yeah, probably. I probably wanted to listen back and make sure I didn't sound like a complete idiot. But 1,200 downloads on episode 1. So hopefully we can keep the momentum going. Episode 2 here in the week of, what was this, January 11th as this airs. And we are headed into a big loaded personal weekend for me. Not so much on the wrestling front. We'll get more into that later. But today, I was actually brought into the know last night. I was talking to Ace, otherwise known as Dylan Stiffwood of WrestlePro. He's a Coach D, and he's a manager there. And he brought it to my attention. You know, he's always encouraging me. He always thinks I'm really good at what I do, and it's very encouraging, actually. I loved all the positive feedback I've heard. I've heard a lot, and I was very surprised. I mean, like, you know, when it's a first podcast, you don't really know what you're going to hear. You don't know how, you know, people might, you know what? I know there's a lot of people that probably like, ugh, another podcast out of this kid. Or, ugh, I mean, why does his opinion matter? And it might not. Who knows? But guess what? I'm going to talk anyway because it's very therapeutic, as my friend Brett told me last week. He said, this has to be therapeutic for you, and it is. I mean, here I am talking to myself. For, you know, 50 minutes, an hour, whatever the case may be. But it is. It's very therapeutic. I love to talk to the audience that does listen. I'm open to all critique. I am. I can't say that you're going to be any better than me because chances are you won't be. And that's just the way it is. I'm not trying to be the next Colt Cabana. I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not doing this because Pat Buck and Ryback do conversation with the big guy. I just saw that Adam Schefter just dropped a podcast. Podcasting is the way of the world now. I mean, it's right at your fingertips. It's on your phone. You download it within 30 seconds. It's more like on-demand content than anything else. So, you know, I'm going to be my own brand, my own entity, and there's more to go with that, you know, in the near future. Me and Shining Edward Jackson have been talking. There's a couple of ideas brewing, and there could be a lot of cool things coming forward. I mean, he's my broadcast colleague at WrestlePro, and, you know, me and him have talked a lot and at length of that we want to change the game. Media is everything lately. You know, I had a great time this past weekend. We'll get into more into that later, but, you know, I was the man behind the Facebook posts of the WrestlePro Facebook updates. If you're hearing some kind of drainage, I started my dishwasher, and this is the only place I could do this thing is in my living room. So hold on, let's see if I can hear it. Yeah, you might be able to hear that. I'm not really sure. It's kind of loud. I mean, if I'm hearing it, that means it's definitely over the loudspeaker, but whatever. It is what it is. No thing's perfect. I don't have a studio, and when I shut my cat out, he starts to meow and this, that, and the third, and I can't take it. But anyway, so I was in control of the Facebook posts over the weekend, so I was trying to take pictures and cover the event for everybody that missed it. And if you missed it, you missed a great show. I mean, I'm very, very happy with how it turned out. Definitely a different crowd, guys and girls that I've never seen before. It was definitely different, and we had a loaded show. All of our guys did good, and I'm getting into the WrestlePro weekend, and I didn't want to get into this early, but, you know, we're here. But anyway, what was I talking about? I was talking, Ace, Dylan Stiffwood, Coach D, encouraging me about my broadcasting skills, or, you know, how well I've progressed, I guess, in the last couple months when I really put my mind to this, as opposed to trying to train hard for a wrestling match, as opposed to, you know, training for a broadcast. But I've just passed 10 years since broadcast school. I mean, I can't say that I've done a lot. You know, I've done a lot of cool things. I've had a lot of jobs that I wasn't able to make it like a career. In broadcasting, if you're not like Chris Berman or somebody on ESPN or John Madden or Al Michaels or Jim Ross or whoever, it's very hard to make it in the world of broadcasting. And a lot of people tell you the same thing. Some people catch breaks. You know, I have a couple friends that are doing very well in broadcasting. You know, I might have mentioned this on the first episode, but my friend Phil, who graduated with me on the same day at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, he now runs his own radio station out in Vegas covering the MMA. I mean, that's awesome. Phil Devine, go look him up. I mean, congrats to him. You know, my boy Rob Pepitone, he's doing his thing down in the D.C. area, working with Sirius XM NASCAR. I mean, like, he's a bigger wig over there now, you know? So these guys are putting in the time, and I wish I could do that. I don't think I was ever in a position to, like, give it my all as far as my time, and things come up. I want nice things. You know, you can't get a nice car when you're working part-time. You can't get health insurance when you're working part-time. You can't go on vacations when you're working part-time. I mean, sure, you can go on vacations because you're barely working, but at the same time, how are you supposed to afford that? So you really can't. So I really can never, every time I had a good broadcasting gig, I always had a full-time job. So in addition to my work, I was doing broadcast stuff. So that's when I was, you know, the only time I say no, that's not true. I was going to say I wasn't working, I wasn't working during the Giants internship when I worked for the Giants, but I was. I was actually managing a Christmas/Halloween store in Staten Island. And Staten Island, that's a... That's a podcast episode in itself on how much I actually hate the cesspool that is Staten Island. Even the people there, like Chris Payne and just dirtbags. But Chris Payne is one of my really good friends in the wrestling business. He's coming on very strong lately. And, you know, I said that in commentary. I've said that in my reviews when I write them. Chris Payne is, he's on his way. And, you know, he thinks he's running out of time. I think he's still got plenty of it. And, you know, he's heading into a very busy season. I got him booked over with Battle Club Pro, and I'll get that, you know, more into that later. But, so 10 years of broadcasting, and I feel like I've been chasing the dream for 10 years. I've never really, I mean, the jobs were there. I worked for the NFL. I worked for MLB for about 4 minutes. that's another story. I mean, I just had a bad ex-girlfriend at the time, and, she was like, you know, you're working full time, and now you're working for MLB at night. When am I going to see you? And I was like, oh my God, babe, you're right. Oh man, I should really give up my dream and just cuddle with you in your bedroom of your parents' house. That's totally the right decision. So that's why MLB didn't work out. And that sucks because that was one of my really good friends, PJ, who has been a loyal, loyal supporter of mine throughout this whole wrestling conquest. He was the guy that got me that job, got me interviews. You know, I interview well. I could talk to anybody. I mean, it's you put me in a room with a bunch of strangers, and I'll be able to spark that conversation. I will. I mean, it's nothing to brag about. It's just I always have a lot to say, hence me having a podcast. So I guess that kind of works. So after MLB, there was I landed the job with Sirius. I mean, I can also attribute my pro wrestling success early on with a couple of the jobs. Like getting a job at SiriusXM Sports, it was very cool to tell a lot of these marks at Sirius, hey, I'm a pro wrestler. I work for XYZ. And they're like, oh, really? And then they forget all about your training and your actual experience in the broadcast industry. And they just want to hear, all, did you meet Cena or no? Hogan, maybe? No? So it did work to my benefit. I will admit that. So being there for a lengthy amount of time, that was actually during my injury. So it was kind of difficult, to be completely honest, because I was hurt. And here I was going to the city and walking the city streets. Most likely, yeah, I think it was in like the fall and then into the winter, so it was icy, and I always thought I was going down. I always thought, like, when you walk in New York City, it's one of those things where if your head's not up and head is not on a swivel, you are toast. You are going to eat pavement eventually. So, the broadcasting gig, the career in itself has been 10 years long of chasing these individual dreams, and it's led to, you know, so many of the cool things I've been doing with WrestlePro and Battle Club Pro and soon to Tier 1, like different wrestling companies. Now I'm working with the HSG Network, doing the football. So it's like I'm doing these jobs. I'm working for these broadcasting companies and these production companies, and I feel like I'm making a name for myself in this industry, be that as small as it is right now. But I'm not done yet. So, and this is my voice, and the voice is the last thing to go, folks. My grandma, on her deathbed, could sing you better than Mariah Carey on New Year's Eve, okay? I mean, she was amazing, and that was the last thing to go before she passed. I mean, she had a voice all the way. She sang her heart out, her little tiny little rosy heart out. Every time I saw her, she was always humming or singing or something. So I know the voice will always be there, and I'm ugly enough where I have a voice for radio, you know, and I can always kind of sit behind a microphone and nobody will ever notice or know what I look like. But obviously then the football and the broadcasting and the commentary, I'm always going to have some FaceTime. So ladies, you're going to have to get used to this grill. So, so happy 10 years to me. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about, you know, all the things that are coming up. Such a deep lineup of activities coming up, and it's great because I'm out of work by 2:30 every day, where I have a lot of time to network and promote and do the best I can to get my name out there, whether it be a little annoying or not. You know, I try my very hardest. That's why I came up with the Destruction 101 Facebook page that, you know, I figured, okay, if I could just post on here, it won't flood my 1,200 friends, it'll only flood 300, but then I wind up sharing it anyway. You know, there's always a way to network. So, you know, it's an art form, and I love it. Speaking of art forms, good segue, Meryl Streep, fuck you, okay? I don't like your movies suck. I've never seen anything that you've been in that's good. I actually had you confused with Glenn Close, to be honest with you, because my friend Richie actually commented on something on my Facebook, and he's like, I thought it was Meryl Streep in Mars Attacks, because we all know Mars Attacks was a phenomenal movie. So, but it wasn't Meryl Streep, it was Glenn Close. So I had it completely wrong. So for her to say that, you know, like I agreed to certain things, like certain journalists and media shouldn't be, you know, doing, I guess, going the way it's going. But her whole, you know, oh, then we'll be stuck with watching MMA and football, and that's not art. Well, you know what? Guess what? You're right. It's sports, and sports trumps art all the time. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, you poll an audience of, I mean, you can mix some females in there too, because I'm pretty sure that females agree that wrestling, pro wrestling, is an art form. I mean, if you don't think that, then you're sadly mistaken, because it is, especially because it's fake fighting, for Christ's sakes. You know what I mean? Oops, sorry. For anybody listening, like, wait, what did he just say? You know, it's all an art form. So, you know, for her to say, like, oh, you know, if we didn't have this, then we'd be stuck, you know, watching football and MMA and I'm going to put pro wrestling in there, even though she probably doesn't know it exists, you know? She probably doesn't know that there's anything such called of pro wrestling. But, you know, I just think that she's out of touch. She doesn't know. And I guess that kind of sucks for her, because as people get older, they get out of touch. You know, a lot of people said Vince McMahon's out of touch, you know, with a lot of ideas, because who knows how much he has control of with WWE. I know that Triple H and Stephanie and Shane and these guys are making headway as far as the creativity and making us, you know, still invested in the product, which for, you know, if I'm just going to call it right now, this 2017 Royal Rumble coming up this year is probably the more of the ones I'm more excited about. I mean, look at the star-studded lineup. See, you see bringing back part-timers. I see nostalgia. I see very cool shit. To bring back Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, you know, throw in Cena, now Undertaker, now like a hint that Shawn Michaels would be in there, you know, even though he probably won't be, and I'll just get upset. But like all these older guys mixed in with the new talent, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, that's just me. But then you'll have the, as Ryback says, the fucking marks, because that's what they are. They love to shit on everything they see on TV. Me and my boy Evan, we talk all the time about professional wrestling, and we always give like an idea. Like we write our own script, and we say to ourselves at the end of it, we say, that's too good, that means it'll never happen. Like that's just a joke. Things happen all the time. You know, like I don't understand the mindset between fans and you know, the wants and needs. I get that every fan has their flavor. I get that every fan wants to see certain things. And that's totally cool because everybody has their opinions. But, I mean, it's like to voice them where they don't belong. Like, literally, before I started recording this, Shining Wizards Tony put up a post saying not everybody should have a voice on social media. And I agree with that because some of you people are just out of control, out of touch, just don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I try to keep this as PG as I can. I don't think any kids will be listening anyway, but I'm not telling my students, like, everybody for homework, you got to download my podcast. How the hell do you think I got 1,200 views? No, but, you know, at the same time, like, it's delusion at this point. It's just weird. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little out of touch. Maybe I'm just behind the grid and they should be like, well, you know, they got to push this guy to the moon and they got to make this happen. And if this doesn't happen and Cena doesn't face this guy, it's like, who gives a shit? Does anybody watch wrestling anymore for the pure joy of watching professional wrestling like I do? I watch Mondays and Tuesday nights when I can, you know, in like still utter disbelief, like, oh, this is so cool, or oh, they just pulled this off, or oh, this could mean this storyline's about to happen. Like, where did we start, like, getting pissed about everything? Like, I don't know. Like I said, I could be the one out of touch. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not saying my opinion's right. And then it leads me up to my next, a segue into my opinion. And unfortunately, over the weekend, for Giants fans, the season's over, and y'all got spanked by the Green Bay Packers. Now, was I rooting for the Packers? Openly, yes. Why would I not? I didn't understand the mindset. This isn't pro wrestling. This is professional football. I didn't understand the mindset of some of these, quote, I'm going to quote this one because I don't believe half these people are fucking Dallas Cowboy fans like they say they are. But when these Dallas Cowboy fans, they sat through the same games I did. We lost week one by 1 point. We lost week whatever the hell that week, early December, by 3. We can't beat the Giants. They have our number. So why in this fairy tale land do you want to face a team that we've lacked complete production and play them again and say, we'll get them this time and we'll be the ones to eliminate them, and oh yeah, you know, poetic justice. Like, no, like why would you want to face a team that your quarterback, your running back, your receivers, your defense, everybody played like shit? Why would you want to play them again? I get, there's nobody happier in this world than when the Cowboys beat the Giants anytime. There's nobody happier than me. I totally get it, and I'm with it. But asking for him for a third time, saying, well, it's hard to beat a team three times. Well, guess what? Dallas did it to Philly a couple years back. Beat him twice in a regular season. Everybody's like, well, they can't beat him again. Well, guess what? They did. So it can happen. So, openly, I was rooting for the Packers. I mean, look, everybody's like, well, then you're going to have to face. Guess what? That's what happens. That's what the playoffs are. You play the winners. You don't play the losers. My wife the other day says this to me, and it's funny because, I mean, she's learning, and I give her all the credit in the world for trying to learn. She asked me, what happens to the loser of the Packers and the Giants? I mean, listen, she's a girl, and she never really followed sports, so I have patience to an extent. So I said to her, I said, they're done. The season's over. Like, not till September do they play another meaningful game. And she's like, oh, so they're done. And I'm like, yeah, they're done. And she goes, well, what happens when Dallas plays the winner of that game? What happens to them? And I said, what do you mean? They're done. If Dallas loses once, it's the season's over. This whole magical dream season is over. And this caught her off guard to the point where she said to me, I don't want to be around you for the next 3 weeks if it gets that far. And we'll get into that. And I'll get into that right now. But like she was in the fog when it came to what happens when a team loses. Guess what? Because you know what it is? She's so used to me watching a lot, you know, the Yankees and the Rangers and the not so much the Knicks, but you know, when the Rangers are in the playoffs, it's 7 games. So when they lose one, it's okay. You know, they'll bounce back. I think she was under the impression that there was some kind of consolation round or something. So when I told her, like, they lose, it's over. And she just knew, like, she got this sickening feeling that came over her, like the same feeling that comes over me every Sunday, that once this is over, it's gonna hurt. Like, it's going, this one is, first of all, let's get to the Giants and Packers. That game, oh my God, like, as I'm saying this, I'm watching SportsCenter's always in the background, and they're showing the Dez caught it, Dez dropped it against Green Bay. But anyway, which, by the way, it's a fucking catch in anybody's book. Anybody's book. Unless you're a Green Bay Packer or a Giant fan, that's a catch. Anyway, I digress. So going back to Giants Packers. Now, obviously, my biggest thing was making fun of the boat trip, okay? Because these guys, these fans and critics, especially Giant fans who hang their hats on every single bad thing the Cowboys do, when Tony Romo was on a dream season, I believe, yes, 2007. I mean, they're steamrolling people. It's the year I actually worked for the Giants, which coincidentally, you know, I got to see him beat the Giants that year. And they had the bye. And it's just, oh, okay, well, Tony Romo on a bye week went to Cabo with Jason Witten. So he went on vacation on a bye week. Like, oh my God. And then obviously we all know what happened. The Giants came out and beat the crap out of Tony and the Cowboys, and the Giants went on to win the Super Bowl that year. So now all Giant fans can just rag on Tony. How can this guy be so confident to go on a vacation on a bye week? I'm talking they had 13 days to get ready. So here's Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz, and poor Sterling Shepard, because I think this kid's got talent. And he wants to hang around with the wrong crowd at this point because, look what it did. You know, they go on a boat. They hang out. First of all, how hard or tough do you have to be to hang out with Justin Bieber and Trey Songz? I mean, we're talking R&B and pop. Are you kidding? Like, that's just, I don't know. Does that give you street cred? But anyway, so the picture comes out. And obviously, you know, as soon as the Giants don't show up, I mean, Odell's dropping balls. I mean, easy touchdown passes. Any other time, he sticks three fingers out and he catches a ball. So the fact that he was dropping on, I'm like, oh, look, I've played sports to the argument of some who think I didn't. I've played sports. It doesn't take you 6 days to recover from like a long night. I've had nights where I've gotten home at 5 a.m. and had to wake up for 7 a.m. And yeah, I'm a total bag of shit. But now you're giving them 6 days to recover. So in reality, like, okay, if like how much does a trip on a Monday affect a Sunday? But it does in playoff football. You want to be as focused and around your team as you humanly can. Something that I've taken pride in when I'm watching and following this Cowboys team this year is that they're saying that their bond in a locker room is better than anybody else's. Like, they hang out off the field, but they're always at the practice facility. They're always putting in work. I mean, that's something admirable. I'm excited about that because they're building a camaraderie, and they got 13 wins in a season where I literally predicted 7-6 at the most with a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back and a receiving core that's kind of suspect. You know, Dez Bryant drops a lot of balls. I mean, I like him, and I still think he's top 10. You know, I used to have this huge argument, like, he's top 3. You know, now he's like top 10. Maybe fell out of the top 10 at this point. But, you know, Terrence Williams and Cole Beasley, these guys are just, you expected nothing out of these guys. And, you know, clearly Dez missed time, so it gave Beasley the season of a lifetime, really. I mean, he led the team in receptions, and he turned into this Wes Welker, Edelman-type receiver where he was just a slot guy and he was hard to cover, you know? So I guess what I'm getting at is I'm excited about this Cowboys team, but at the same time, if you're a Giants fan, you have to be very disappointed in the way your team played going down the stretch. Your defense carried you, and you just dropped the ball, literally. You know, these receivers, they played like utter garbage, and it's a shame because the Packers defense isn't that good. And that's another reason why I wanted to play the Packers. Now, I understand they have the weapons, and Aaron Rodgers is probably, and I've said this, the best quarterback I've ever watched in my lifetime as far as mechanics. Like, the guy can run, chuck, throw the ball across his body, throw the ball blindfolded, Hail Marys, you name it, he's done it. So he's done all this cool shit, okay? But, you know, and they might be down Jordy Nelson. I'm not really sure yet. It's as I record this, it's Tuesday, and I can see it in the background that it's a, you know, two cracked ribs, and that's a big deal. So maybe that's one weapon less. But I knew that the Cowboys perform better, and they've beaten the Packers this year because the Packers' defense is so bad. So, like, you know, and you saw it with the Giants. They burned guys, man. Like, Micah Hyde got burned like three times by Sterling Shepard once and then twice by Odell, and it was just drop balls. For the first time in my life, I felt bad for Eli Manning. I said, this guy's actually putting the balls where they need to be, and these guys are just dropping it. Just plain flat out dropping it. I almost said dropping the ball like the pun, but they literally were dropping the ball. It's a shame. But it's not a shame because the season's over. Now, what happens now? Well, the Cowboys are playing the Packers, obviously, as I just stated. And it's 4:40 on Sunday. So a lot of people saw that I was overjoyed about how the game was going. But I also, this is how, all right, listen. Facebook is social media. Social means talk. There'd be no point in having a Facebook if you're not posting, if you're not bringing up topics, if you're not sharing pictures of your pet, if you're not sharing pictures of people getting their head chopped off from ISIS, you know, it's like the cool shit, okay? Like, you know, and I totally didn't mean that. I'm just saying, like, people share the stupidest shit. Just like this kid, you know, and this is what happens. I guess I'm having a conversation with myself, so this is what happens. But, you know, the kid that got bullied and beaten to shit by those thugs out in Chicago, it hasn't gotten any press lately, which is kind of disturbing. But yeah, like the things that people do share, I don't get it. I don't get what sharing it for all of your friends to see. Like, guess what? Chances are they've seen it already. Like, for instance, when Rey Mysterio got into that thing where the individual died in the ring, okay, and everybody was sharing the video, I got really hurt. I got really butthurt, as I say on the internet. I didn't appreciate that at all. I didn't like the fact that people were like, oh, look what Ray did, or look what happened, or look what happened. Like, we all read the same shit. Why do you feel the need to share it over and over again? It doesn't make any sense. So anyway, going back to my original point, it's social media. So social media is my thing, and I enjoy it. I don't know how I'm still recovering from this cold. It's been like a friggin' week and a half. But anyway, so social media is meant to talk and meant to be social. So I was posting a lot during that game, almost like live posting. Like, if you weren't watching the game and you saw my post, you can know exactly what's happening. And it struck a nerve with a lot of my closer friends who, literally, one of them just got real personal. So then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to delete it. And I've done that a lot. And I've been made fun of for deleting my posts. Here's the thing. I will talk and debate you through everything. Like, I will seriously, sorry. I will seriously go toe-to-toe with you and debate you. Debate, meaning you have an opinion, You're going to give me reasons why you have that opinion, and I, in turn, will have a rebuttal and talk back and give you my reasons of why I'm talking back and like back my shit up is what I'm saying. There's a fine line between debate and bashing. And when it turns into negatively like bashing people, that's where I kind of draw the line. And I can't really have that, because my Facebook is being monitored by a lot of people. My bosses, not so much at school. I'm talking about like Pat and, you know, Howard over at the HSG network. And they want to make sure that like I'm not, like, it's one thing to give an opinion, but it's another thing to get in a verbal bashing and altercation with somebody over social media. It doesn't make any sense. And why would you do it? I don't know. And a lot of people, you know, the phrase keyboard warrior, and let me tell you something, there are plenty of them. Because plenty of people that troll my Facebook and just comment stupid, silly shit, you know, and really get under my skin, and they know they get under my skin. And at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Every time I see these guys in public, out at a bar, you're not going to say half the shit you say. Because in front of you, you have a computer screen. In front of you, when we go to a bar, is a 6'2", 255-pound man that will literally put my fist through your face if you say something slick. So there's a big difference. The keyboard warrior is a real thing, and it's got to stop. You know, so there is times where I delete my post because I'm like, I can't. Me being the positive reinforcement that I try to be, I can't have that anymore. I can't deal with that shit, because I've actually, you know, I've cleaned myself up. I've made sure I've made the necessary strides to be like this positive person and just, you know, get behind all things positive, okay, and change my lifestyle, change my career, change this, change that, all to benefit myself, my health, my mentality, everything. So therefore, I can't take the certain shit that I see online. And believe me, I bite my tongue every single day. You know, some people say it's easier just to block, or... And that's what a lot of like the big time celebrities do. They block people. They block, 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 because they have a million followers. Me, anybody that's friends with me on Facebook, I've either met you personally or you're a fan, you know, like a legit fan that's whatever. You know, you're a fan of my wrestling, you're a fan of the football, you're a fan of just whatever. I will not accept a request from somebody with like one mutual friend, like who her picture is just her fucking tits are hanging out, like, oh, hi. And I'm like, the old me is like, oh, hello, you know. But now I'm just like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, why do you find it necessary? And let me tell you something, fake profiles, holy shit, is there a plethora of them? Why you do this? I have no idea what goes through your head when you're making it. Not so much like if it was made or I had like access to somebody else's Facebook, I would, you know, that's one thing. But like if you literally sit there, brainstorm, come up with a name, come up with a picture. You know, I saw a pro wrestler, independent pro wrestler, Johnny Silver, the other day, had somebody just take his fucking picture and use it as their picture, which is like blows my mind. Like, how does somebody go through that? I mean, that's some serious mental illness. And I'm not one to bash mental illness, but that's fucked up. I mean, you need some serious help. Serious help. But anyway, see, like, this is what happens. I get off on this thing, and I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm talking about this, that, and the other. And then I'm like, oh, what the hell was I talking about again? So now, oh, yeah, Giants, Cowboys, debate on Facebook. Anyway, look, I kind of not lost my train of thought, but there was so much in that that I just didn't understand where I was going with it. But moral of the story, it's social media. Keep it social. Keep it civil. There's no reason to bash. There's no reason for cryptic shit. I've been reading a lot of cryptic shit from a lot of people that I used to be associated with. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, I've invested this much money into this and now I'm fucking big shot. Like, stop. Just fucking stop. Okay? You know who you are. Knock it off. Because you're going to say it to the wrong person. Because you know what? Here's the thing. When you say it to a bigger name than me, okay, they have a lot to lose. Me, on the other hand, I am an independent, my own brand. I got nothing to lose. So don't cross me and say some stupid shit, because I will come back and fire right back at you. So keep that in mind before you think like, oh, he can't possibly do this because it'll make him look bad. To who? Who am I going to look bad to? Huh? Seriously. Like, at this point, come on. If I haven't burned a bridge already, you know, come on. Enough. But with that being said, the Giants are done. The Cowboys are in. This week's, you know, and that's another thing. Social media. Back to this social media thing real quick. When I see, you know, when something happens with the Cowboys or something bad happens to the Giants, the first person, and I suggest you add him, he probably won't accept you if he really doesn't know you, but Mike Bucci, a.k.a. Nova, his posts are gospel, okay? Like, I've met this guy time and time again. He's a huge, huge Cowboys fan, and it just makes my day. The shit he comes up with, and I'm going to say, and I've said it to Jay Silva and Raleigh and Brian Myers, and I've said it to all these guys, and I said sometimes his posts are a little over the top, or I think he's just trying to get a rise out of people, and that's something that some people do, and that's okay. It sparks debate. It sparks fun, you know, but then when you get creepy and then you get, like, real derogatory towards something, and it takes the fun out of it. But I had to give a shout-out to Mike Bucci because he's the man. He's the man. He's a mentor of mine in professional wrestling. He's a big sports fan like myself. Yeah, so anyway, going forward, we're going to take a little break, only because I want to take a sip of my Zevia, which I've been turned on to. This is something that Buck has turned me on to, and this is it's diet soda, but it's a lot healthier for you. I also just purchased the Feed Me More Nutrition stuff, which should be coming in the mail, I believe they said Thursday. Pre-ordered all their shit, so I got the nice fat pre-order price. The testosterone booster, the pre-workout, and the protein. Three things that I know that will help my health, in general health. You know, not so much. I mean, obviously, everybody, if you're in the workout world, you're always looking for some new pre-workout. So this is exciting for me because I always like trying something new. Protein, I mean, it's grass-fed. It's all this natural ingredients, like sugar, like sweetened with stevia, and it's not like as shitty for you as like Muscle Milk would be. And the testosterone booster, cause look, I'm 31 and I kind of need my testosterone to be a little higher than I wanted to be. I never got the blood work done, but I can tell, you know, certain times I wake up and I'm just like, ugh, you know, I just have no energy whatsoever. Zero. So, and it's not just from lack of sleep, cause sometimes I get 8-9 hours, and you know, the whole day I'll drag. And then when I get out of work, instead of going to the gym, I'll be like, just a little nap. That'll do me good. You know, who takes a fucking nap unless you're 65 years old? You know, and another thing, who has ever taken a nap and woke up more refreshed? I mean, it'll probably help you down the line of that day. But, like, when you wake up from a nap, you don't want to get up. Like, it's been hard. It's been very hard for me to get going lately. So I know that has something to do with that. And my diet's always been kind of, you know, a lot of carbs and like, yeah, it fuels you for that minute. But then, like, it'll crash you real quick. So anyway, yeah, let's take a little break. When I come back, we'll talk a little wrestling, talk WrestlePro, talk Super Kicks, and we'll talk. And I'll give a couple plugs out to all of my friends. So I'll be right back and enjoy the tune. Last week I chose Brian Myers' old independent wrestling theme song, and this week I'll give you something different. Yeah. Anyway, that was Dan Moff's theme song. Good old Dan Moff. What the hell happened to that guy, huh? He went off the reservation. As I bring it back to WrestlePro weekend, which we just had, and let me tell you something. In an event where we really didn't expect to do much, we did a whole lot. And I think that, you know, kudos to Buck and Matthews for putting together such a cool card. It was exciting, and we all had a good time, and I tell you what, from top to bottom, you know, these WrestlePro guys, especially the guys that showed up, you know, the names that showed up, even in the snowstorm, I'm talking about Swoggle, Matt Stryker, Sanjay Dutt, those are professionals, man. Let me tell you, they come and they play hard. You know, Swoggle did his thing, and Sanjay, every time I see him, I learn something new, and especially Matt Stryker, who is a role model to me. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's the voice of Lucha Underground. So, like, that's what you strive to be in the commentary biz, you know, and I definitely want to be him. I want to be known as the voice of something. So, yeah, WrestlePro this weekend, everybody from top to bottom delivered. And it was one of those things where I'm just very proud of everybody, and nobody mailed it in because of the different crowd. The crowd was great. The size of the crowd was very, very surprising. And I sat there at the timekeeper's table and took my notes and posted on Facebook and did the best I could doing that. But, like, you know, because unfortunately, you know, Carlos and his crew couldn't show up because of the storm. I would have much rather been doing commentary like I have been doing. But, you know, it is what it is. Some people got hit harder than others when it came to that snowstorm. But, yeah, so anyway, so I'm watching from top to bottom, you know, from CPA to, you know, Habib. I understand that some people don't get it, or they're kind of just, like, having a hard time gripping, like, you know, how can anybody get behind a tax guy? And how can anybody get behind a car wash guy? You know, let me tell you something about these two guys. You know, it's one thing that their character is so unique and funny, but they're very talented individuals. You know, Habib can fly. CPA, I've seen him in practice. You know, it's not like he's some dud who can't wrestle and he belongs in the backyard somewhere. You know, the guy's a trained professional wrestler with a funny character. It's just, and it matches his personality in real life because he's very dry and he's very humorous. You know, so like when people say they don't get it, he told me that over the weekend. He said that one of the promoters said that just didn't get it. Well, then the promoter should be out of wrestling. It's plain and simple. That promoter who doesn't understand, you know, how to get the crowd to pop, you know, like it takes a little something extra sometimes. And who better than some dry comedian, shy, just abominable CPA? And I think it works. You know, I won't go down the, you know, the card from top to bottom, but, you know, a lot of these things stood out, like Falaba and Matt Stryker, you know, in one of the probably the more entertaining and funny matches of the night. You know, Stryker, you know, being the smart individual that he is and the seasoned vet and a former WWE talent, and he let everybody know that as if we didn't know it already, you know. And Fala took, you know, liberties into that and came up with some of the moves used that you see every Monday and Tuesday night, and it was actually really fun, you know. Some of these guys are leaps and bounds better than where certain students were, including myself, at given times. Like, within the first year, you know, I knew how to put a match together. Was I the most technically sound? No, you know. But some of these guys, and this is tribute to the teaching and the instructing of Buck and, you know, Dan Moff and Mario Baccara and guys like that who are at the school tirelessly training and molding these young minds, some of these guys get it right away, and it's scary good. You know, Matt McIntosh is one of those guys that got it, like, right away. And now he's with two guys in the Apple Corps that got it right away. You know, Valerio Lamorte, you know, a guy that I've seen since day one, is, you know, had a hard time finding his character at first, you know. But now here he is. He's himself, a vicious, good technical wrestler, looks the part, looks like $1 million. And then there's Maxwell Jacob Feinstein, who, I'm telling you right now, just like I said about Bowens, you're going to see this guy on television one day, mainstream television, and he's got it, you know what I mean? Like, he's got this swagger about him where his moniker is that he's better than you, and you know it, and you know what? Sorry to say, folks, he probably is, and he can talk and talk and talk, and that's sometimes, and that was my strong suit, you know. Sometimes all you need to do is talk, you know. I mean, and he's just blessed with God-given ability where he's just on the money with everything he's been doing, you know, whether it be the work at Creative Pro New York or his work with CZW, and he's been doing really good things, really good things. And I see that CZW is trying to kind of mold itself into a professional wrestling company rather than stab people in the eyes with forks and shit and a little too hardcore for my liking, but they've gotten better technical wrestlers down there. David Starr, you know, guys like that, who can really steal the show, you know, by professional wrestling and not so much jump off buildings and shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's just everybody has their own flavor. But it is what it is. But anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So the show itself was great. And I really think that we're coming into our own, going into a lot of, a lot of great shows coming up. I mean, we got the Starland Ballroom, which I'm very excited about. I've personally never been there. I know that the other company was a couple times. I was not a part of the company when they were there. So I'm personally excited for this. I'm also personally excited for our return to Brooklyn. We had a great time in Brooklyn, and there's a phenomenal bar across the street that I, you know, partook in some extracurriculars after, you know, and before, just a little bit, nothing too crazy. Brooklyn was so much fun, and then after Brooklyn, we're back in Rahway, and after Rahway, we got Orlando, man. Look at Orlando. Like, look where this company is now. And it's just its second year, and I don't want to hear, well, no, technically it's been, you know, 4 years or 5 years or whatever Pat's been. This is a completely different beast. Reason why I say that is because it's being run by a completely different beast. And when I say beast, I mean a beast of knowledge and a beast of talent and a guy that gets it and a guy that can create talent and a guy that can literally teach you from the ground up like he's taught me. You know, Pat is really stepped his game up, and he's done it on his own. And now, as things get busier, he's passing off, you know, he's passing the torch to a couple things, like letting me do some of the social media, letting Kevin do the booking, and letting, you know, Mo do the training. And like, there's a lot of different aspects where he can just kind of sit back now and kind of, you know, bravo, you know, let me do this. Hold on, you ready? You know, bravo, man. You can actually take a step back now and see the monster that you created. And now we're about to perform in front of probably some of the biggest crowds we've ever seen down in Orlando, WrestleMania weekend, which is shaping to be probably one of the bigger WrestleManias. I mean, so like, and I remember being a part of the other company during WrestleMania weekend when it was up north here, and it was fantastic. I've never seen such a bigger crowd. I got to, you know, get up on the turnbuckle and embrace a crowd of over 1,500 people. That's, listen, in independent wrestling, that's crazy. To me, it's crazy. I mean, to others, it could be completely like, eh, no big deal. You know, but to me, that was huge. That crowd was phenomenal. And I know that it's going to be phenomenal again. And I know the matches that we're announcing periodically as we get up to that time are better and better. You know, you got Ryback and Colt Cabana. Today, they announced Swoggle versus Grado, which, yeah, to others, it might be like, ugh, why are they doing that? And I've seen some negative reactions, and I'm like, you know what, man? Pro wrestling needs to have everything. It needs to have a little of this, a little of that, a battle of the big man, and it needs to have a high flyers match. It needs to have a comedy match. It needs to have a squash match. It needs to have specific things, and we got it all. And I'm not just trying to toot it because I work for them, because in a snap of a finger, I might not work for them. You know what I mean? Like, shit changes all the time. But I mean, I would personally put my money behind a company like WrestlePro, because I truly think that the future is very bright for these guys. And going forward with all the dates that we've been booked already with 2017, it's just something special. It really is. And the independent scene as a whole is special. You know, guys that are still with it and still have this vision of bringing good professional wrestling to the tri-state area are out there. You know, in 2 weeks' time, and I'll probably get more into it next week because it'll be the week of the show, but I'm going to be acting as commissioner again for Battle Club Pro in the Bronx. Like, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be, you know, working outside of Rahway, you know, the town of Rahway. I didn't see it coming. So the fact that these people are reaching out and booking me to do other things and different things is fantastic. You know, and you, if you see that card, I mean, just look at my Facebook and look at the flyer, and it is something just fierce. Sprinkled in with some WrestlePro talent, he's got guys that I have great admiration for. You know, Rude Boy Riley is one of my favorite people. You know, and every time I see him, he's the nicest, sweetheart in the world, if that's okay to say, you know. But like, he's just something. He doesn't like. All right, in pro wrestling, you need an ego, and if you're not confident and cocky in some sort of way, then you're in the wrong business. You have to believe in what you do, and he believes in what he does. And when he's sent over to the UK for a tour, much like Bowens was, much like, you know, other guys that I know were, you know, it'll boost your ego a little bit, and deservingly so. You're there for a reason. You're not flying yourself. You know what I mean? You might have to, but I'm saying, like, somebody reached out to you and said, "I want you on my show." You know, that's saying something, I would think. I could be completely wrong, but that's just my opinion. You know, Rude Boy Riley and other talent that just, you know, the Mike Orlandos of the world and Brute Van Slyke. I mean, you talk about old school powerhouse. He's going one-on-one with Dan Moff. And I thought Dan Moff versus Ryback was going to be hard-hitting. Like, who knows? It's good to see. It's refreshing. It's refreshing to see what professional wrestling has done on the independent scene in 2017. Are there still companies that need to just kind of go away? Yeah, I think so. And unfortunately, some people buy into the bullshit, and well, then that's fine. But if I'm not mistaken, there's been certain, you know, promotions that just run and run and run, and all they're doing is drawing 10, 20, 50 people, and it's just getting kind of like tedious and getting very annoying. So, and you know what? If you're listening to this and you're like, "Oh, I know who he's talking about. I know who he's talking about." No, you don't, because it's not no ill will towards any of my former employers or anybody that's ever given me a job or a chance to work. So relax with that. So, well, I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know how long I've been going. I really wish I did. This thing, it's like, I don't understand. Like, it should tell you, you know, how long you're going. I mean, it's counting, but it's not counting like normal. It's not like giving you like a whatchamacall, like a countdown or count up or whatever. Anyway, I told a couple of my friends I would plug their shows. Obviously, WrestlePro coming up in February. We'll get more into that as it gets closer. You have Battle Club Pro coming up on January 21st. You have my friend Don Brower. Giants suck, by the way. His UPWA, who I've worked for in the past, they're bringing a huge show to the North Carolina area. And again, one of those guys that no matter how much he pisses me off about football, he's one of the guys that gave me my first opportunity to leave the state of New Jersey to wrestle. I mean, I'll forever be grateful for that. So go check his stuff out. I know he's bringing another show back in March, I believe he told me. I wasn't sure. One last thing about something in pro wrestling I watched last night. Kind of just, not struck a nerve, but just kind of rang a bell. Does anybody remember when a super kick was a finish? I know I posted this like a couple years ago, and now people are like, "Ugh," just butthurt immediately. There's nothing cooler than watching Shawn Michaels, A, just to watch Shawn Michaels, but B, to watch him come out on Raw and do his thing and act all corny and this, that, and the other, and then whack, super kick, knocks Rusev off his feet and just clocks him. Remember when that finished, people? The super kick is a kick to the face, to the button. It's supposed to knock you out. But now, it's used 77 times a match. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking it, because there's nothing cooler than the sound effect and the strike of a good super kick. And some guys have made a career over it. Some guys have sold a lot of merch over it. I just wish that it had more meaning nowadays. I don't know. I could be completely, completely wrong. All right. But that's going to do it for today. Only because, like I said, the attention span of the common man and the common woman is very low lately. So we don't want to go too long. It's been a fun show. I think I covered a lot as far as the playoffs and WrestlePro and pro wrestling as a whole and the independent scene. And I hope you're enjoying, and I hope you subscribe to, now I have my own little wing on iTunes, and I'm very excited about that because it gives me a chance to kind of branch out a little bit rather than just be on somebody's network. I will still be on the Shining Wizards Network, which I'm pumped about, which I'm very proud of them for getting onto the new platform they got onto. Subscribe to Conversation with the Big Guy with Pat Buck and Ryback. Very knowledgeable podcast where I listen every week because, A, it's funny. B, you know, Ryback lets you in on his life and how things are not so much just going, but the experiences you experience as a professional wrestler. Go listen to the Shining Wizards wrestling podcast. Everybody on the Shining Wizards network, keep listening, subscribe, leave a review. Those are the big things. I don't know why reviews actually like really mess with the algorithm of these shows. Like when people search shit, like if it's not good enough, it won't show up. So the reviews help. And that's it. I mean, it's been a crazy cool week. It's only going to get better. This weekend, I got a lot in store. Friday night, I'm going to go to, which is kind of weird because I live in North Brunswick, New Jersey, which is down the street from New Brunswick, like the college town of Rutgers. And I never go. I never go. But I used to go there as a kid, you know, 21 years old. I used to go there all the time. And now I never go, and it's right there. So I think I'm going to do that on Friday. I'm going to go to a place called Destination Dogs, which is a hot dog place. So you're probably thinking to yourself, if you know me, Dave, going to a hot dog place, why? He doesn't eat hot dogs. It was agreed upon between me and a couple of my friends and my wife. And I'm, you know, I do feel bad sometimes when she's subject to pizza a lot of the time, you know, when it comes to dinner and pastas and variations of carbs that'll probably clog her little heart, you know. So I do want to give her a break and I'll probably just drink a lot of beer. So that's what I do. Saturday is obviously the playoffs. Prediction time. Okay, well, it's pretty simple. Saturday is the easier games to predict, in my opinion. The first game being the Falcons and the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know why I almost said Supersonics. Because I was listening to a George Carl interview earlier today on The Fan. Seattle Seahawks. Atlanta Falcons. Who do I want? I want Seattle. Who's going to win? I think Atlanta. I think Atlanta's offense is just, they're firing on all cylinders. I think Matt Ryan's had his best year of his career this year. I think Julio Jones has always been playing at an all-time level. And now you sprinkle in a couple of these new kids, Tyler Gabriel, you know, the running back backfield of Freeman and Coleman is just, it's lethal. It's scary. It's scary, especially if on Sunday things go my way. You know, that's why I want Seattle. I feel like they're the weaker of the two teams. Yeah, so I'll take Atlanta in the first game. Second game at night might be something of a massacre. I mean, people are predicting exactly what I'm saying. I don't see any Cinderella story happening here. I think Tom Brady is Tom Brady, and I think he will assault that really good Texans defense. However, the spread, I believe, is 16. So if you're a gambling man, what I suggest, and listen, I've won and I've lost. I can't tell you that I've been the best gambler in the world, but what I would suggest is that you take the Texans with those points. I got a feeling, like if their defense is going to play and they're going to shake up Brady, they're going to hit him a lot, they might win this game by 12, 13, maybe even 14. You're still covered, man. So take Seattle, take the Falcons straight. Take the Texans if you're a betting man. Take the Patriots if you're just taking them straight. Sunday, the Chiefs and the Steelers. The Steelers obviously showed that when those three guys are on the field, it's disgusting. Le'Veon Bell stops running. He stops at the line, waits for blocks. Like, it's something I've never seen before. But he might be changing the game. He might be changing the way guys approach. Wait for those blocks to develop and go. And he's done it. And he'll do it again. I love the Chiefs defense. And I do love their offense too. And I don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And now they're down Joey Porter. No, Joey Porter's not playing, but he is their defensive coach. So he might not be there. Who knows? I like the momentum that the Steelers are carrying into this game. However, gun to my head, like Mike Francesa would say, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I like a Chiefs and Patriots AFC Championship game in Foxborough next week. And, well, you know me. I don't make predictions on my own team. I don't even want to think about how I'm going to be feeling Sunday around, what time's the game? This game's at 4:40, 7:40, 8 o'clock, 8:30. I don't know. You know, I'll probably have no voice. I'll probably have a headache. And I'll probably be crying. Happy tears or sad tears, that's TBA. We'll find that out. I like our matchup. Rodgers is playing amazing. He just torched the Giants. The Giants are playing the best defense out of basically anybody in this playoffs. And he made easy work of them. So it scares me. And I hope this isn't the last time I'm talking to you as alive. But the football gods have graced me with Martin Luther King Day on Monday. So when the Cowboys win or lose, I'll have Monday to bounce back by myself in my thoughts. Probably won't get out of bed if they lose. I'm turning off social media. I'm going into hiding. So I guess wish them luck. And if you're a Giants fan, I know what you're wishing. And that's cool too. That's what makes you a fan. So go Cowboys on Sunday. And to all you Giant fans, I'll leave you with one of my favorite songs going right now. It's kind of old, but it applies. And I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy the weekend. And hopefully, I will talk to you guys next week. Let's go, Cowboys.
Oh, shit! Get your towels ready. It's about to go down. Everybody in the place, hit the fucking deck. But stay on your motherfucking toes. We running this. Let's go.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me, cause I'm sailing on a boat. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Take a good hard look at the motherfucking boat. I'm on a boat, motherfucker. Take a look at me. Straight floating on a boat on this deep blue sea. Busting by night, wind whipping at my coat. You can't stop me, motherfucker, cause I'm on a boat.
Take a picture trick, I'm on a boat, bitch. We drinking Santana champ, cause it's so crisp. I got my swim trunks and my flipping floppies. I'm flipping burgers, you at Kinko, straight flipping cabbage.
I'm riding on a dolphin, doing flips and shit. The dolphin splashing, getting everybody all wet. But this ain't SeaWorld, this is real as it gets. I'm on a boat, motherfucker, don't you ever forget.
I'm on a boat and it's going fast, and I got an nautical theme, patch me to Afghan. I'm the king of the world on a boat like Leo. If you own the show, then you show me.